In our sermon series on wisdom, we've been trying to pay attention to how God's wisdom brings renewal to our lives. What I want to look at today is what Paul calls us to, that kind of even greater than renewal. Wisdom can bring the overcoming of evil. I think we can judge any solutions to the great problems of our world that you see around us. When someone proposes a specific solution, you can say, well, does this line up with God's wisdom? Does it contribute to the overcoming of evil that this text invites us into? Paul in Romans 12:21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In order to be a Christian alive and fully flourishing in this world, you need to hear this text and be aware of what it draws you into. There is a reality in our world today. You need to feel and you need to know that evil is present here. Romans 1, chapter 1 to chapter 3, verse 20, speaks to us about the human predicament. When Paul writes these words here in 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, he has already told the people who received this letter, you live in a world in which the human predicament is characterized by evil present in our lives, in ourselves, and in the world around us. You need to know this. You need to pay attention to it. And if you do pay attention to evil in our world today, you likely, like me, are probably beginning to feel this is incredibly overwhelming. It sure seems like evil is winning. God, can you please do something right now? This text invites us into what God is doing in and through Christians in the world and through His Spirit at work in our world around us. In order to defeat evil, perhaps you feel that the only way to defeat evil might be to make a concession, might be to play the tricks and the games and the forgeries that evil seems to rely on. I need to get this done, and the only way seems to be if I bend a little here. No, says Paul, that is still being overcome by evil. Even if you win, you are overcome by evil, and evil wins. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. All right, Paul, then what is the good? How do we do the good? What are we supposed to do in order to overcome evil? If we don't want to be overcome, but we want to overcome, what is the good that you call us to? What I think Paul does here in Romans chapter 12 is he tells us what the good is that will overcome evil. This good is the wisdom of God that rightly and correctly in our lives overcomes evil both within us and outside of us. This good that he calls us to, he invites us into it in the first verse of Romans chapter 12, in which he tells us, as Krista alluded to, that we are to present ourselves as living sacrifices. So offer yourself as a living sacrifice, and this is part of what it means to overcome evil by good. And then in the middle of chapter 12, in the very middle, he has this phrase, let love be genuine. Let love be genuine. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice so that you can overcome evil with good. And that good that you are called to is let love be genuine. Now, when you heard this text read today, when you've read it yourself, you likely saw along the way that most of this is imperatives. Do this, do this, be this way, act this way. And this text can feel like, wow, that's a lot I'm supposed to do. I need to follow this list. But that's not what Paul's saying. Most of these words in this chapter aren't imperatives. Most of these verbs aren't saying you should do this. They're saying, let love be genuine, and this is what's going to happen in your life. Let love be genuine. Allow it to be genuine in your life. You don't have to force it. God Almighty has genuine love for you, and He has shown it to you. Again, pay attention to Romans chapter 1 to 11, the first chapters before this one, in which Paul explains, here's the human predicament, here's God's response, His love is incredible. It is deeply genuine. Now, therefore, the beginning of chapter 12, therefore offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Because of God's mercy, enter into what it means to live with His genuine love flowing through you and around you. Let love be genuine. My hope is that as I read through this text with you, that these words of this text would vibrate in your lives. Throughout the week, I encourage you to read the text again, and may this text resonate with everything you are and everything you do. Let love be genuine. I'm going to go through this text closely and carefully, paying attention to how each verse is inviting us into what it means to allow love to be genuine in our life. So my encouragement to you, keep your Bible open with you so that you can follow along this morning as I take us through this text. The second part of verse 9, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. It is too easy in our lives for us to cozy up to evil because it seems to advance our chosen narrative. Perhaps we see something happening and we'd really like it to happen because we have a sense that it would be good, and so we allow evil to kind of co-opt the narrative and do things. It might be evil in a government or in a leader. It might be evil in a corporation, but we have a hope that something good will come, so we cozy up with evil. We want the champion of our desires to make them happen. Paul says this is not genuine love. You need to hate evil and cling to what is good. That is genuine love. Don't cozy up to evil. By doing that, you're not allowing love to be genuine in you. Overcome evil, not by giving it air and fuel. Cut it off. Hate evil and allow genuine love to flow through you. Do not facilitate, enable, or perpetuate evil. Instead, cling to good. Verse 10, Paul continues and invites us. The whole chapter, again, is speaking about our relationship to the people around us. And in verse 10, he tells us, to prefer, but again, the language here in chapter 12 has been softened in most of our translations, and Paul is much more forceful here. He says, be a leader. Be a leader in diligence, not slothfully. Be a leader in brotherly, sisterly love for one another. Be a leader in sibling love for those around you, and do so for their honor. Genuine love cares about the honor of the other person. If you care about your honor more than you care about someone else's honor, then your love for them is not genuine. If you care about your honor so much, it's actually blocking and restricting genuine love within you. Your love displayed will actually be false because you are allowing your brother or sister to be shamed. Shame on you. Be a leader. Protect, care for, nurture the honor of your sisters and brothers' love. Sisters and brothers' honor. This is genuine love when it flows through you. Do not restrict it. Otherwise, if you don't operate this way, you'll see your brother or sister as one who is in competition with you. That will actually feed evil because you'll be preferring your honor over theirs. Seeing your brother or sister as someone who does not deserve honor because they are poor or homeless or for whatever reason that you see them as somebody not worthy of honor, you are being overcome by evil. So overcome evil with genuine love. Let love be genuine in you. Be a leader for their honor and overcome evil with good. And then verses 10, 11, 12, the second part of 10, 11, and 12, are a list of things that further define for us what it means to let love be genuine. Genuine love that seeks another person honor has zeal like boiling water. This boiling water in the Spirit fuels and allows us to actually seek the other person's honor. And this genuine love serves the Lord. Love that is ungenuine feels more like tepid water, and it seeks to turn any service for another person into something that makes me feel good, like it's a badge of honor. Instead, seek to serve the Lord when you seek to serve others. Don't see the person before you merely as a charity case. See them, yes, as themselves, but serve them as if you were serving Christ before you. Genuine love, in our gifts of time and money to the Lord, give them to the Lord. The person before you is the person that God has chosen to represent himself to you in that moment. And then while you're being a leader in preferring the other person's honor, Paul tells us, rejoice in hope, persevere in suffering, and be devoted in prayer all along the way. You see, genuine love does not camp in despair for the other person or for the situation we find ourselves in. Genuine love does not camp in despair, but sees the hope of what God can do. How much can God do for this person before you and for yourself? That much, an incredible amount. So rejoice in it, genuine love. If you allow love to flow through you, you will rejoice in the hope that God shows you. And genuine love does not give up when things are tough. Genuine love perseveres in suffering. You can do what you feel God has called you to do. You are tied and connected to the Almighty God of the universe. Let love be genuine in you and persevere in suffering, whether it is sticking it out in a hard space or whether it is taking the hardship of saying, I have to leave this space and now hard things are going to come because of that. Genuine love takes the suffering that comes from loving genuinely and perseveres as it follows the path of love that God leads us along. Genuine love does not rely on its own understanding or strength. Genuine love is devoted to prayer because you simply cannot do this on your own. You simply cannot. You can't be genuine love, and you can't fake it, and you can't make it. You have to let love be genuine. And prayer is the way in which we are connected to God Almighty, in which we are connected to His genuine love. And thereby, in prayer, we can be someone who lets genuine love flow through us, shine out of us. Let love be genuine in you. Be devoted in prayer. In overcoming evil, genuine love does not give in to despair. It's able to withstand the right suffering, and it is dependent on God. Evil despairs, evil avoids suffering, and evil does not want to follow the cross of God. Overcome evil within you and evil without. Let love be genuine through your zeal in the Spirit, through serving the Lord, and being devoted in prayer. And then verse 13. It's often translated as contribute, but that simply isn't strong enough. The word here is koinonia. You might recognize it. It's the same word used for communion, now used as a verb. It's the same word as communion, now used as a verb. To contribute to the needs of the saints feels like, well, there's one among us who needs a little bit of help. Here's a 20. I hope that helps. Not good enough. Not what Paul's calling us to. Not what Paul is describing genuine love as. Genuine love means to partner, to communion with the needs of the saints. The love that is genuine will partner, come into communion. Make yourself a sharer in the burden of the needs of the saints. Do not stand off aloof. I'm here to help. There you go. I hope you're better. No, partner with it. Evil will stand off. Evil does not want to get the other person's mess on themselves. It perpetuates the suffering. Instead, partner. Get your hands dirty. Overcome evil with good. Let love be genuine. Partner with the needs of the saints. And then verse 13b, we are told to practice hospitality. I presume this might sound like practicing your knitting. Make sure you get in a few knitting exercises every day and work on your project. Practice your knitting. No. The word here for practice hospitality is the same word used in verse 14, which we are told is bless those who persecute you. Persecute hospitality. Paul uses a strong word here. It sounds like chase and run after. You need to chase and run after hospitality. Not as a task list that you're supposed to do, but that when you allow love, genuine love, to be part of your life, you will pursue hospitality. You will chase after it. And the hospitality Paul invites us to is not the hospitality of your friends and relatives. The hospitality he invites you to is the hospitality of the strange one. The hospitality of the person who does not make you feel comfortable. The hospitality of the foreigner. hospitality to the person who is most vulnerable. Let love be genuine, O churches. Come governments, come churches, and let love be genuine in you. Pursue the care of the stranger among you. Who is the most strange? Who is the most vulnerable? Who is the most not like they are supposed to be? Pursue hospitality to them. Let genuine love be in you and overcome evil with good. And then verses 14 to 20. Genuine love is the one that blesses the one who harasses you and chases after you, the one who frustrates you. And genuine love isn't about you feeling good about yourself, but it's about associating with the lonely. It is too easy to feel, you know, I'm beginning to figure this stuff out, and feel a little puffed up and haughty. But Paul says, no, genuine love associates with those who are most lowly and most vulnerable. And genuine love never seeks retribution. You hurt me, so I'll hurt you. I'm going to make you feel what I felt. How often when we get hurt, we long to make the other person feel, you need to feel the measure of impact that I felt. Instead of that, Paul says genuine love will feed the hungry, will feed the hungry enemy, will refresh the thirsty enemy. And it is through this that evil will be overcome. It will not be perpetuated. It will not escalate. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This good of genuine love will set you free, and it sets the other person free. Genuine love sets us all free not to be caught in the cycle of hurt for hurt. It sets us all free from not being owned by our desires of our own pride and our own comfort and our own pleasure. Those desires will rule us and demand us to serve them. Instead, let love be genuine within you. The wisdom of God brings renewal everywhere that it grows. And as we follow this path of wisdom, we hear that love needs to be genuine within us. Reading what Paul has invited us into, we know that allowing love to be genuine within us is the good that will overcome evil, evil within us and evil without. O dear church, may love be genuine in your heart now and forever. Amen.